Again, excellent. So this group, being the freewheeling group that they were, came up with the third recommendation.
Yes, we had. We actually took one. The third one was one of the recommendation from Karen Wissig and Catherine Edwards regarding the convergence of the community and public sector in smaller markets to share. To share initiatives, either facilities or contents or personal. That's it. It's the first one.
Okay.
Community media organization that trying to find.
Vous pouvez le dire en français si vous voulez, si c'est plus facile.
I'm just trying to say it fast, and I didn't read it the whole thing. So, summarize, yes, thank you. The initiatives to put forward the community media organization with adequate funding from participation of both party, so the public and community sector. Is that clear?
Is that clear to everybody? No? Okay. Who's that? Kathy, it was your recommendation, right?
Yeah, it was a sharing of public and community initiatives between public and community broadcasters that could be sharing of approaches, infrastructures, or personnel, just depending on the situation. And the key idea was that if, you know, the CBC gets allocations of funds in the future, you know, if things ease up a little bit, maybe it could be directed toward projects that are undertaken with communities.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. And so next we have regulation.
Yeah, so our group talked about regulatory. They asked me to talk a little bit about the context that the recommendations came out of. So we had in our room a mix of academics, community media practitioners, and working journalists in private sector, I think. I don't think there was a public sector working journalist in our group. So some of the issues that came up were community media and citizen access, community media definitions, funding, infrastructure, spectrum. It was a wide range. Access off and online, so into the net neutrality issue, so access type issues. Then some of the professional journalists had concerns around access to information, freedom of information policies, whistleblowing, censorship. So some of those professional legal issues came up. And then we also talked a bit about media pluralism and public broadcaster funding, media ownership infrastructure. So it was a very wide-ranging discussion. We also had a little bit of time was spent on whatever issue you're working on, what are the strategies to tackle them? So we were talking about how you frame some of these complicated issues when you're presenting it to the public, the importance of doing research to contrast international models and make sure we're not sort of stabbing in the dark when we come up with ideas. And thirdly, how the academic community could support advocates when they're working on these issues. So we had a bit of a strategy discussion. And finally, what we came up with was a blend of issues and strategies. So our two proposals were, first, better funding support for community media, especially English community television, which is particularly in bad shape, but which also takes into account the multi-platform nature of community media and hyper-local sites, such have been discussed over the few days. And the second one was to build public interest and citizen research capacity together with universities. So when advocates are intervening with, I've got this typed here, I can send it to you so you don't have to retype it all. But when citizen groups or nonprofits are intervening on, in judicial, legislative, and regulatory interventions, that they have good research and data to back them up, and how communities could help by recruiting student effort to help prepare that kind of thing, because that can often be really tough for nonprofits and advocacy groups to get. So one was funding support for community media. The second was building capacity for research in partnership with universities.
Great, thank you. And financial policies. Yeah. Oh, talk about timing, yeah. Thomas. Step right up to the microphone.
Do you have your computer? Or?
Actually, why don't you grab a grab this?
Would you like me to keep? Are we doing much of a preamble, or is it simply?
It's totally up to you. It's freestyle.
All right. So we had a very engaged discussion this morning about, well, the financial situation. We had a number of different ideas, largely talking about how to, you know, reconcile what some of the issues that we see, the lack of public interest in the media. So this also included not only, say, for example, media co-ops or media collectives. It ranged to public service broadcasting, CBC, Radio Canada, and the recent cuts. And it also, of course, you know, we tried to fit this in with a model that is, also includes a lot of private broadcasters, of course, as well. So the two key recommendations that we did come up with. Oh, that's right. Yes, thank you. So there was one key line that did come up that I think, well, for me personally, I think that it's something that we should really bear in mind when we're making these kinds of recommendations, and that is essentially that public service broadcasting is not is a very different thing from political activism. And I think that when we're coming from this kind of perspective, that's the brush that we can often be painted with, that this is just a left-wing debate where we're trying to, you know, promote left-wing ideas in the media. And that's not the case. And this is something that we did bear in mind, especially talking about the money surrounding these issues, because we don't want to be painted into that corner. And so here are the two recommendations that we came up with. The first is to institute a refundable tax credit up to $500 that any Canadian could use to subscribe to or donate to any Canadian journalistic organization. So this would be tied in with the tax system. We didn't exactly sort out how that would work legally.
We only had 2 hours.
Excuse me.
And it can already be criticized because some would say that it's a regressive proposal, but you know, we can take on that debate.
We also thought it was important to put a number on that, and of course that number could always be changed, but to add to the concreteness. The second recommendation does relate to the CBC and Radio-Canada. We discussed it from a variety of different angles, and we did come up with something that is quite a strong statement because we think that a decision does have to be made. A discussion has to be had, and a decision has to be made how committed we are to our public broadcaster. So the proposal is to hold a referendum on CBC Radio-Canada funding on whether to guarantee long-term and stable funding. And that would essentially draw a line in the sand to say, is this something that we as a society do want to do? And if we don't, then we can either let it die a slow death or cease funding whatsoever. And I don't think that, I believe that most Canadians, would, when faced with that, would weigh on the side of supporting the public broadcaster. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I mean, in crafting the structure of this conference, one of the things that we were really hoping was possible, but we didn't know if it was possible, was that we could get people to come together like this over the course of a couple days and actually get them to deliver at the end of the day 8 concrete policy proposals. And you've done that. Thank you very much. So I think this would be the time to open the floor to questions, see if you want to probe these recommendations a little bit further. We've got a microphone. Does anybody want to start us off? Kelly?
I'm on. I know we didn't deal this with this in our session, but I just want to clarify, I didn't hear that any of the other recommendations deal with the issue of broadband access in rural Canada. Is that correct? We have
the first in our organizational models. We talk specifically.
In our organizational models panel, we did talk about broadband access and the distinction between the kind of saturation that exists in urban communities versus rural communities, even versus reservations or the north of Canada versus the south, but also who even is on the internet in these urban communities, who is in the social media sphere. That's why our recommendation specifically says that the one about convergence with the audience should actually go beyond the internet and social media. And so maybe you had something more to say, but I just wanted to say we did have that discussion.
And in the regulatory panel, the first recommendation about funding support for community media, a first concrete step was the salvaging of the CBC infrastructure for rural communities, because one of the uses is to bring in rural broadband. That's what those towers can be used for.
Thank you.
Chantal, did you have a question?
No.
One thing that I can add,
a weird third one that we didn't mention.
We were talking about reforming the structures of journalism. So, I mean, we had a couple of concrete proposals for research, and we didn't actually talk about how we were going to be funding this research. We just said that it was going to have to be done. So this is the sort of thing that would be an example of how we might want to develop this in future discussions. We might want to refine some of these things. The other one being reform structures of journalism that Annabelle just mentioned, which is a very, very large kind of nebulous kind of a concept, but it does involve a number of things like diversity of ownership, addressing diversity of ownership issues, and support for different levels of media. So one of the things that came up quite often was reference to the ecology and how we needed to support a number of players. So including public service broadcasters, including community media, including, you know, online startups. So that was one of the things that we had talked about as well. So it sounds as though, sorry, is that a question, Rena?
Just about the broadband towers and stuff, I was just thinking if there's a way we can join forces with the technological companies or investors, because there's been talk that there's a proliferation of these towers and they're ugly and are not good for the environment. So if we can, because I know competitors like Rogers and whatnot don't like to share their towers, but if there's a way that we can either bypass towers or find another form, you know, like an alternative way, and also that would serve independent media.
There is currently a CRTC policy directs that broadcasters seek to share their towers with others. They're expected to for that very reason, so there isn't unnecessary duplication. So just as one example, when Shaw bought Global, one of the requirements is that in rural areas outside the bigger cities, the mandatory markets, that they would share their tower structure and even multiplex using the same transmitter with any local broadcasters who on their own couldn't afford to make the upgrade to digital. So the CRTC is aware of that, and they do have policies in place that require tower sharing. That was just one example. But we talked about it a bit in our panel. The tower infrastructure is, was Leslie mentioned in the 90s, they talked about the information highway. If a community gives up its own access to local transmission, it has no on-ramp to the information highway. They're now reliant on cell providers, you know, big companies to either connect them or not. They don't have any power to do it themselves, so that the towers are actually critical. It's to have any control of local media infrastructure.
So you can have an alternative structure.
You mean an alternative physical structure?
Yeah.
You got to get them up in the air. I mean, they're visible by the nature of what they do. They don't have to be in the downtown core, but they've got to be up on a hill. You know, there's only so many sites that work.
There are some communities that connect by satellite. Right?
Yeah.
And
it's really expensive, too. And then they don't have control over the conditions of the services they get. Like, there's no way to insert local content back into that satellite signal. So there's a whole range of issues that happen when you give up your local infrastructure.
If I could use my platform to ask a question. I'm curious about your idea for this annual meeting. How would that work exactly?
Yes. Well, we talked in different models. We talked even about mandating, so to be tied to your license renewal with the CRTC. But then we thought that we better récompenser les bons comportements, rewarding the good behavior, best practices, and instead of pinching the bad ones. So we thought about getting some incentives to the media outlets who would get their journalists to, who would give time to their journalists to come to the meeting. It would be a meeting that would be supported, funded by CRTC, Heritage Canada, and other government bodies who would be interested in being part of this. And it would be encouraged to all journalists or media worker to be a part of it as a work in progress something group to have a better journalism in Canada.
So literally like
a journalism strategies, but on an annual or a semi-annual, every two-year basis. I mean, I think that one of the things that we as, expressed as a group is utter shock at the fact that there are three sectors in Canada and we don't ever get together. And so this being the first attempt at that, and this ultimately having been the responsibility of graduate students and a couple of profs to put this on. Like, this should be the mandate of the government. If they're going to have three sectors, then those three sectors should regularly be in communication about what their goal is. We are all in a common media system. We all contribute to the media landscape, and we're not just, you know, coming from a community perspective, as a community practitioner, my point of view and my experience is no less important than someone from the public sector or the private sector. And I think what's come out of this week's, the last couple days, I did that accident earlier today too. I was like, the last 2 weeks have been amazing. Anyway, point is, the last 2 days, what's come out again and again is that a lot of people feel reinvigorated in their efforts to be journalists and to participate in this media environment. So I think some of what we need to do from this conference is document our experience, our criticisms, what we were really excited about, and communicate that back in our organizations, but also to the government, and tell them how valuable this time has been, not only from the perspective of journalists, but from an academic perspective, from a policymaker perspective, because it's a shame the CRTC wasn't here to see this. They should have been here, because this is almost their responsibility. We wanted to. I don't know if
it was. I will confess, it was a very last-minute invitation, and the dates conflicted with the local hearings, of course. So people who were potentially interested didn't really have an opportunity to arrange their schedules. So, my bad.
I can make one comment about trying to involve policymakers, because of course it's great for us to come up with all the recommendations. There was a CRTC policy. It was an invited think tank last spring, because of over-the-top services like Netflix and all that coming in, where they're thinking they're not going to be able to regulate traditional media in the same way. They gave out invitations to 60 media, it was mostly media owners, but from different sectors, so internet companies and public, private sector, last spring, and they had a research paper published at the head of it to set the terms of it, which talked about how it may be difficult in a regulatory environment in future to regulate. And they actually said there may be more emphasis on public policy in future on public and community media, meaning if we can't make the private sector do stuff, like fund them to do local media, say, maybe what we do is put more money into public and community media. And I was like, wow, you know, they're seeing that already. Great. But there was no representative on the invite list. Like, somebody sent me a copy of this research paper from the community media sector to be there to argue that viewpoint. So, you know, we bugged and pried until we got an invitation. But there was almost nobody there. There's almost no journalists, like on-the-ground journalists there. It was all, you know, organizational heads. Yeah. So including the policy wonks in the discussion is extremely important, as it would have been to have more people from the ground there last year.
Absolutely. Rana?
Thanks. Well, that's it. I mean, I'm wondering how we're going to present this to the CRTC. Is it going to be like a business lunch? Is it going to be... But it has to be like... Well, I think it has to be how lobbyists function. I mean, you contact the right person, you set up a rendezvous, and because I want to know, I think our ideas are really good, and I want to know how we're going to deliver it to the CRTC. I don't think it can be like, send, yeah, thanks for reading, you know?
I don't want to be a party pooper. Pooper, but I don't know what's down there. Like, I've heard something, but I don't see many words. Like, it's too small. I cannot see anything. And secondly, what do we agree about those policies? The whole idea of this afternoon is to debate. I mean, do we agree about this statement? Is it clear? What does it mean? Some of these statements don't really seem clear to me. So if I don't understand them, how can you lobby for them? So I don't want to be a part of people who are sorry, but, you know, I would really like to, you know, come up with very concrete, straightforward, hopefully realistic, even though, you know, we can be idealistic, but, you know, that the common citizen would understand, you know, what are we talking about? Sorry to be the party pooper.
Paul?
So in 2 weeks' time, the National Conference of the Canadian Association of Journalists is going to be held. At which all kinds of things will be discussed, all kinds of professional and political concerns will be aired. Of course, you have to be a member to be there. But I think that if the people who are involved in that organization saw that somebody was putting forward a proposal for government support for another annual conference on journalism and its goals and how to do it and what kind of strategies to adopt, they might think it was a little strange that nobody had actually talked to them about it. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Actually, if I can just pick up on that, Paul. CAJ was part of this process. Mary Agnes Welch was actually one of the people who selected the papers. So they've been involved informally from the beginning?
Yeah, we're now talking about a recommendation that kind of is a recommendation to do something that they do. So in a certain measure. My second question is, my question is for the Working Definitions Group, for a little bit more, there's a little bit more info, if you could expand a little bit about the reform pedagogy part. You said something about liberal arts models, and I would like to hear a little bit more about that.
Yes.
I think I know where you're going with alternative media organizational forms in more emphasis on that in curriculum, but if I understood, but just a little bit more flesh on those bones.
Sure. Do you want to take that on?
Exactly, because I know Greg Nielsen was talking about the liberal arts training. Like, he was like, that's how we kind of coined it. But
So I'll have to think about that more. But I guess, yeah, in terms of the alternative media and incorporating that, I guess it was just including a broader idea of what's the options in the media landscape. Just from a historical, contextualizing what exactly is out there in terms of journalism options. Some people were talking about, I'm not a journalism student, but there were some people in our group who were in journalism school and just expressing it would be interesting to have more of a detailed or contextualized approach as that would help strengthen the practical.
Yeah, and basically this stemmed out of a conversation about, you know, how journalism schools don't always, people who go to journalism schools sometimes get frustrated by the political economy that we throw at them, you know, saying, you know, it's terrible, this is the system is set up so that it's rigid and it's very difficult for journalists to do real journalism. And so we had a discussion about, you know, agency and possibilities. And that's one of the things that came out of this weekend, of course, is the alternative models that are out there already. And so that the suggestion was that perhaps one of the things that we could address in journalism schools is how do we can prepare journalists for not only fragmented audiences, but fragmented journalism models, different journalism models, that there isn't just one journalism model. There are, as someone aptly put it a couple of days ago, there are many kinds of journalisms, and how do we accentuate those more and prepare students more for that kind of world rather than the kind of world that certainly I came into when I started journalism school in 1991. I mean, it looked very different than it does now.
Yeah, it's just that when you put it that way, it sounds like that's not happening, and it is. So...
And I think
and you know, like we haven't talked about that until now, so.
Yeah. Would you want to expand on that a little more, Paul?
Well, sure. I mean, I don't want to be here all afternoon talking about it, but we do. I mean, we do talk a lot about it. There is a lot of critical analysis, and, you know, it's not just trade school stuff. We're not just telling people how to, you know, how to do news stories. I mean, there's a term. You look at any curriculum, it's got courses on critical issues in journalism. It's got courses on diversity. It's got courses on model. I mean, any university-level journalism curriculum has a lot of these elements. So, I mean, I mean, you might talk about things like they all have internship components, and, you know, it might be constructive to encourage people to think more expansively about the types of internships they look for, you know, to place people in. We heard in our group a little bit of a suggestion that, you know, anybody who proposed placing an intern with community media, it might not be looked on as sort of a serious internship, or the student might not want it because it didn't kind of demonstrably lead to employment. But, you know, there are ways that you can think more constructively about, or more creatively about where, you know, where you line up internship placements. I mean, that's just one example, but some of this stuff goes on, you know, and not having sort of discussed it thoroughly, to just sort of stick it in a recommendation at the end. I mean, I just kind
of... I think if I can jump in at this point, the way that I was understanding recommendations was that this was something that we would continue discussing, and this was basically the beginning of more detailed conversations. What was your thought, Gretchen?
Well, my thought was that there were the meeting that we had earlier, the breakout session that we had earlier, was sort of the time for detailed conversation, but because we only had so much time and we had to go fast and we were also separated, not all of us benefited from that. So, for example, our group actually had, you know, the three recommendations we presented here, but we filled up the board with a whole bunch of other recommendations. So we actually had someone come in and take a photo of it before we left, because we didn't want to lose that knowledge. Plus, all these sessions were recorded. Kai, I know you had your hand up, but I wanted to respond exactly to what you said about this already being done. I work in the community media sector at CKUT, and I've had lots of journalists who go through the journalism program at Concordia. CKUT is McGill's radio station, by the way, where we don't have a journalism program. But I've had plenty of students come from journalism school at Concordia to work at CKUT because they're getting something there that they don't get in their journalism school, which is that practical, hands-on community experience, but also problematizing all of the things that they learn in J school. So, yes, you had talked about fragmented audiences and fragmented models, but there's a whole way in which we can approach communities that the multicultural diversity discourse that exists in J school just doesn't even begin to understand. And it's not until you get out there on the street and you start working within these communities that you really understand what working within a community is about and the kind of challenges that exist, for example, in trying to get prisoner voices on the air, for example, trying to incorporate the Intertribal Youth Council in a way that's not just tokenism. So actually getting community members to be invested. There's a challenge that comes to what people learn in J school that they become aware of when they come to CKUT, and that's why so many people stick around at CKUT after they finish up their J school, you know, even while they're working at CBC, because, again, they have more opportunity to do the things that they want to do critically within CKUT than they would ever have at a public or private media organization. But I feel like I jumped in where you wanted to on this conversation about training, maybe, Kai, or you had a separate comment?
It was just a structural observation. I'm just wondering whether it might be useful, now that we've got our eight recommendations, to divide them by who we're recommending to, because that's not an Industry Canada lobbying point, right? Reforming journalism institutions. We're not suggesting that the government come in and reform journalism institutions. So that's a conversation that we need to have with individual schools. The referendum thing is not, it's like the CAJ is not going to be able to organize a national referendum of Canadians on CBC funding. So I think if we can divide up these recommendations by who we're targeting with them, it might help us not only with the wording and the structure of each individual point, but also figure out how we could effectively take this out of this room.
Okay. And that's actually the discussion that we were thinking of holding off until the break. And I throw this open to the floor. I know that we have a couple of questions. Kelly, you had your hand up. Becky, you had your hand up. So before we actually change the format, maybe we can address those questions. But should we consider moving the discussions on strategy into this session and taking leaving the break for, say, 4 o'clock? Does that make sense? That we
At this point, it's hard for people to see what the recommendations are because we have 8 of them. We can't fit them all on the screen. Mm-hmm. Almost feel like we need to print them out, pass them around, let people have a moment to digest them, maybe identify the targets of those, and then come back. So I don't know if we need to have another mini breakout session or just some time to work on these things. I don't know if somebody from the floor has a better suggestion.
Simone, what are your ideas on that?
It could be a never-ending discussion.
Always the optimist, eh, Simone?
Well, you know, I'm fairly proud of our recommendation. No, kidding. No, seriously, like there, I completely agree with you with recommendations. I just don't know how we could, you know, really efficiently do that. You know, like, is it by printing out, everybody's going to read them and then come back and we're going to hear, like, you know, maybe 10, 20 comments about the wording, or how do we do this? You know, we're basically,
We have from the beginning been making this up as we go along, and I think this is where Becky might have some useful observations. This is Becky Lentz, who has been joining us sometimes throughout the conference. Becky is basically responsible for a lot of this.
No, I'm not.
She teaches
I'm just
a class
sitting here.
She teaches a class on policy activism here at McGill.
So well, I was wondering if I would offer to maybe have 3 to 4 people take the suggestions and put some kind of schematic together to actually make some sense about how these things relate to each other with the comment about who they're directed toward. And, you know, in other words, to come up with a schematic that can then come back to a strategy meeting and fill in the blanks a bit. And I'd be happy to volunteer to help to do that because I can see there's a pattern and it could maybe be helpful to come back with that as opposed to having more on the list.
Okay.
Kathy? Yeah, just I agree with Kai that our original 4 areas, it doesn't matter where they came from, it's where they're going to, that's how they need to be organized. I did think that something that Paul said is important is, like, I didn't know about this journalism conference coming up in 2 weeks. What's the difference between that and this forum then, and the idea that this forum should continue yearly? Like, that's a good question. What's the difference?
Paul is here.
Can I answer what the original proposal about bringing people together? The CAJ brings together mainly English Canadian, mainly professional journalists, typically working, if I am not mistaken, typically working for or freelancing for so-called traditional media organizations. That's the primary function. FPJQ does the same thing in Quebec. And our view was this conference was exciting because it brings together practitioners from all the various sectors, including the citizen journalism and community sectors, as well as the public and private professional journalism realms, in English and French, pan-Canadian, including Quebec, and that was really useful, and that there needs to be more knowledge exchange. So this would not be a one-day conference or a lunch or whatever. This would actually be an opportunity for knowledge exchange to work out more of these ideas about how we work together, audiences, citizen journalists, professional journalists, mainstream organizations, community organizations, how we work better together, how we exchange ideas and actually build something new that we all say as practitioners in newsrooms or in other organizations needs to happen. There needs to be a change in how we actually function as people who tell stories using new technologies and using old technologies. So this would actually be a knowledge exchange. And the reason we put the CRTC and Heritage Canada up there is nobody else has the resources to actually do this on a biannual basis. Who can bring together the people in this country, including the employers, the employees? But we also said it wasn't just them. We put CAJ, FPJQ, all the unions that work in the media sector, and academics. Like, it would be really a multi-sectoral thing, and it would really be about knowledge exchange among practitioners. And that was the idea. So I just wanted to be clear that it's not meant to replace the CAJ or the FPJQ. It's to actually build on those. And we all know those people don't have time either. Like, it's...
So it's basically, theoretically, FPJQ and CAJ, this could be one of the things that they discuss at their annual conventions, and then moving forward, they can bring whatever points they feel need to be brought up at this other multi-sectoral meeting later on. Is that?
But I want to add.
Sorry, if
I want to just complete what you said. We have to at the FPJQ. We have to understand too that the member at FPJQ are not Québécois. Québécois is not part of FPJQ, and it is a problem since a few years now. Québécois doesn't pay the membership to be part of FPJQ anymore. So if we want to address some issues about journalism or good journalism or best practices in journalism, if we want to do it in FPJQ, forget it, Québécois is out. So, and it's not what we want, obviously. The second thing is the freelancers in the FPJQ are bigger in number, but have no weight whatsoever in the suggestion or any suggestion or any.
They're not voting members.
Yes, they are voting numbers members, but they are 25% of the membership, but they don't have the weight of 25%. They have the weight of 2%, and I'm generous. So that's why some groups are underrepresented, some groups are not there, and some groups are overrepresented in their area. And I think this annual or biannual meeting would bring people and give a voice to community media who don't have a voice in FPJQ or other association like this. So it would help to everybody have to everybody so everybody has a voice as a working journalist or academics or other.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, Kelly, you were very patient. You had your hand up a while ago.
Uncharacteristically patient. I wanted to clarify a couple of things and add one thing. I'm unclear in our process today whether we're going to go through these and collectively agree or strike some of the recommendations, or whether these are now our recommendations. There are some recommendations I disagree with that I think are ill-informed and potentially could hurt us.
Well, and that's what this space is for. It looked for a while there that we had a surprising amount of agreement. I was a little bit shocked on that.
I don't think that was agreement. I think that was just people trying to read the screen.
So I think.
So if, I just wanted to be sure that in fact, we're going to somehow have a process where people like me have a chance to say yes to three, but no way to two or whatever.
Well, can we start that debate now? Is there stuff that you said you said something's ill-informed up here?
Yes. Just as there are many kinds of journalism, there are many kinds of journalism schools, and I think that. I think that's ill-informed and offensive, number two. So we've completely revised our curriculum to ensure that contextual approach exists. We have an entire course on how business models affect editorial content and alternative media.
I've got to say that was initially my reaction too, because we've also at Concordia just revised our curriculum in a real process.
Yeah, so I think it's based on assumptions that are maybe true some places, but are certainly not true everywhere. So you're going to alienate people such as myself if you include that one.
I think what we're dealing with is that this became a victim of trying to get things done quickly.
Sure.
And so I think if I could say that the spirit of the thing was more to create opportunities for schools to share knowledge, because like you say, different schools are doing different things.
What I wanted to say, I wanted to bring up two process points right now. One is, are we going to go through and vote up or vote down or
improve.
Go through or improve the ones that we like or don't like? And two, there was this question about what happens after, how this gets developed. I think this conference has been very productive in that it has drawn from a much broader umbrella. I go to the CAJ conference, and this is quite different than that. But I think that we would be fooling ourselves to pretend that we have the kind of critical mass or established authority that's going to get us an ability to deliver this with some impact. So I would urge that we develop some process to then take this out as a manifesto or take this out as a set of recommendations and bring in other stakeholders.
Absolutely.
Bring in journalism before we deliver it to CRTC or to the Heritage Minister or to whomever. So I just wanted to raise two process questions. One, are we going to have a chance to go through and go yay or nay? And two, let's, whatever we develop, let's then go try to get support for it, broad support, before we try to push it through as policy. And I'll stop talking.
First answer is short, yes. We are going to have a chance to develop that more. Second answer is slightly longer, not much longer. When we first conceived of this process, the organizing committee knew that we would have to get us to this point. And really, we were looking at this as a three-stage process. So there was pre-conference where we were starting to bring in the different stakeholders. And there was the conference itself where you would, you know, having bought in a little bit, at least come together and start to have conversations. And then the third part, the post-conference part, is really what this session is about. And that really is about starting the conversation on a more national basis. So, yes, what you're talking about is extremely important. And no one's saying that this is the last word on anything. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's the beginning. And what we would like to do after we have discussions about what exactly our priorities are, what we think we want to move forward on, then we can have a conversation about how you think it is most important to move forward on this.
Thank you. I totally agree with what you have just said. And I have a similar question about the first proposition, because I would like to have some more explanation about what it means, what it aims at, because I have a huge problem with tying audiences, evaluating, measuring audiences, and financial value of training, programming. I think this sounds like mainstream media. I would say that, but it's one thing to try to understand for every media, for journalism, what to the people we are talking to, with the people we are addressing to. But I think like maybe it's the way that it's explained in this proposition. But I don't understand, and I feel like that's that could deserve us, because we are tying, for example, audiences and value of training. I don't think that the value of training in journalism schools or whatsoever are tied to audiences, to people watching media and so on. So I think that there is a problem, and I would like to maybe to this sentence be explained and maybe rephrased.
Actually, I think Andre was first. I think it's Andre, right? Yes. Alexandre, sorry.
Hi. Also, continuing on that point, I'd like maybe some clarification on what type of research it would be. Because what I find is that right now what is needed is not more research, but let's say like more projects, more action, more doing, more people being, you know, and I'll say it also, that's my thing, you know, like being online and collaborating with different types of non-journalists, you know, like developers and UI designers and designers in general that think, you know, and people specialized in engaging communities and whatever. If this type of research involves building this and having these types of experiments, I think it's good. If not, well, I think, you know, there have been a lot of thought, but there needs to be more experiments. So I would not support such a proposition.
Sorry, Kathy?
Yeah, this is related to the same point.
Okay.
That I think number one that we can see right now that there's some debate about, it overlaps or could be bundled in with our second proposal, which kind of came from Becky, which is, could our students be helping, you know, small nonprofits like yours with research when you need it to help with advocacy? So whether for a particular, you know, the Fédération des Télévisions Communautaires Autonomes in Quebec found it very useful to have audience research in their case, going to the Ministry of Culture. But in our case, we could use somebody to run around and figure out how many cable community channels have closed. You know, it's just something I haven't gotten to. So I think that specific one could be rolled in the regulatory number two that if we could collaborate with universities and there's a student capacity to look into stuff on all of these policy issues, you know, those two could be blended and it would get around your specific issue or with the audience research maybe.
Annabelle, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally. I like the, it's interesting, yeah, because we were basically basing the first suggestion about audience studies. Like, I totally agree with you. Like, I come from an alternative media background, so I don't believe in, like, yeah, like, measure, like, just quantitative value on, especially something like journalism being the standard in value. But we were just basing it off of mostly what Michael Meadows was talking about with community, what they did with community radio in Australia. So they used the resources that an institution like the university had, people who were willing to do work led by communities on the ground who wanted folks to do research, but you know didn't have the time or you know didn't. Weren't oriented that way. So people who were like, yeah, we're here to do research, we can actually be helpful and have an impact on alternative or developing journalism more broadly. So yeah, that's kind of what it was based on. Yeah, it's definitely like, I don't know, I feel like I agree with you. So I don't think we wrote them out in like detail. So they're very like not contextualized right now. But the sentiment behind it was to help for there to be more of a representation in a policy sense. So more looking at, like, for example, what they did in Australia with community radio, just saying, oh, you know, the value that the training community radio provides for free to people is worth this to the Australian economy. Like, that is just a tool. It isn't really saying this is the standard for how we should measure journalism always, just in dollars outside of, you know, other forms of things being valuable.
Yeah, so basically it's,
but yeah, no, like, that's kind of the spirit we, like, we're kind of coming from that perspective, as opposed to yeah, just following with like a mainstream approach. It was sort of the opposite, basically, that we were trying to do. But
yeah, it was a way basically to if I could summarize it, it's to prioritize research for audiences, because I mean, we know that there is a commercial research that's done in this country around journalism ratings and whatnot, but it was a question of how do you do audience research differently? How can we research in ways that help us understand different ways of doing journalism and understand ways that audiences are trying to plug into journalism? And the argument that Greg Nielsen, who unfortunately can't be here, was making is that we don't have that kind of research here in Canada, even to the extent that Michael Meadows was able to talk about his research. To the best of our knowledge, we weren't familiar. Maybe Kelly, Paul, you're aware of other research that's different, that would be along that would have the depth and breadth of Michael's research.
Quebec Community Media has done it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Through the Ministry of Culture in Quebec, because they fund community media, they then have to justify the value of it, so it's in their interest to get the research done too.
Yeah, so that was the idea, and this actually plugs very well into what you were talking about with Becky's suggestion of how do you use different organizations and institutions that already exist to support the work that's being done in different sectors. So how does the journalism community plug into the research network? So how do we? Sorry.
Yeah. Your wording seems sort of useful. It's research for audiences, whereas we think of a research of audiences. The for
yeah,
versus the of.
That's an excellent point. Yeah.
And if you go back to the wording, you now have two things in there. One is, if you can go back up to the...
Hold on. It's a lot to type all at once. So going back up. Okay.
See, in the top line, you have evaluating, measuring audiences. It turns out that's not what Michael was talking about. Michael was talking about what do audiences look for, what do audiences want, what do they want from journalism, you know, which is a different question.
Yeah, we can totally change it. I just wrote it really fast. So.
Yeah.
So how do we proceed? Because we had a specialist, I think we lost some of the recommendations about the process. Two things, I mean, how do we proceed so we're not here like at 9 o'clock tonight? And second, because I'm sorry, Kristen, like in an hour, we're never going to be an hour with this. And second, what about the process afterwards? We really need to make sure that, you know, when we're talking about, you know, some people talked about lobbying, some others talk about, you know, launching a conversation, what do we mean about that? Are these proposals going to evolve over time? Will people here feel betrayed about the involvement of those proposals or not? Should these proposals, like, really be stick somehow, you know, that they won't change even though, so, and who are we targeting, as Kay was suggesting, you know? So, I mean, maybe mea culpa, you know, we should have maybe thought that out a little bit more about how to be effective in this process right now. So I don't know, we had like a specialist now that was suggesting how we should proceed, just so that we can be as efficient as possible.
Yeah, and she is, I believe, just over here. You were drawing together some themes, Becky? You were...
I don't think she's finished yet. We do have a break scheduled in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if it's possible to live blog what I have text here. It's Tom. Question. I don't know. Like, put this up on the, I don't know if everybody has their little devices. Like, just put this up there so that everybody can have it on their device. And if you don't have it, I can print it out as well. Just so we have something to look at, too.
Okay. So how are you suggesting we move forward then, Simon?
I don't know. I mean, like, I know it would take time, but, you know, so I'm not a specialist. So that's why if we have a specialist, let's just use her.
Okay.
Her skills about how to, you know, like, navigate in this process as quickly and efficient as possible, and at the same time, you know, so that people are satisfied with the process. Because right now, I can sense that, you know, people are wondering, where are we going with this?
Well, we've done two at date already.
Yeah.
But then it's going to take time.
Okay.
It always does.
Yeah.
Okay, Errol?
Yeah.
Errol?
Can I just propose that we don't actually come to any final conclusions right now? I think, seriously though, like I think what we should do is build on what Christine and Becky were saying, so use this as an opportunity to open up the dialogue at a later time. So what we could do is create some kind of open source document and get the contact information of all you people, or post it somewhere where people from the conference can contribute to, and we can create some kind of online forum where people can comment. And this is something that we can work on and let evolve over the next, I don't know, several weeks or few months. I know that everyone's busy, but I agree with Simone that we're not going to come to any conclusions in the next couple of hours that will satisfy everyone in the room.
I don't think that. Let's work at it and give ourselves a challenge. If it doesn't work, go to stage two.
I agree.
Yeah.
We have a break, and we have another hour that we've committed to. Yeah. I feel like Simon's just trying to be realistic. He has this personality thing.
I'm going to be so happy that we're done with this in the next hour, but I'm just like thinking back about, you know, the resolution process, and it takes sometimes quite a long time. And I'm just wondering if people here are like willing to stay that long, and if not, will it come to a few people that will debate it, and will it be a really deliberative process if people are just leaving at one point?
Okay.
So those are
These are all really interesting and really valid, and what I would like to do with your indulgence is I would like to keep this conversation about process going for 5 more minutes. We will then come to an agreement on how we proceed from there. I'll take a question from Rana.
Actually, it's a suggestion. I feel like this format isn't optimal, because if we're gonna, like, we're not that many. If we take one of the rooms where we were discussing and we sit in a circle all around each other, I find there's a better flow of information, because, you know, raising your hand, having the mic go to you, like, I find we need to use the time here. There are amazing people in this room. Like, just sit in a circle and have a free flow of info. And if we use those rooms, we can have someone like jot those down, or we can use the breaks to just print like 20 copies and just establish maybe 2 objectives from now till we leave, or maybe 1 objective, you know. And I just don't find this classroom setting works to have a brainstorm. It doesn't.
Well, it was just that if, you know, we're not going to take positions or definitive positions today, I don't understand why we should close the discussions to just the people here. I mean, it should be done in the open if we're talking about audience involvement and audience research and what do they want. Well, why not let them say so when it's in the open? So maybe just look around for like idea scale or whatnot. Maybe there is some software that can be used where each of the propositions can be put and then everybody can just put comments on them and they can be voted upon. So there is software that exists. I don't know if it costs money, if it costs too much money, but I think that would be the best way to go.
No, Bob's had his hand up, sir, for a while.
Yeah, I agree with Simone and Errol and the previous speaker here. I certainly don't think we should be even envisaging trying to send eight what seem like disjointed points to any policymakers at this stage, particularly given who's in office, you know, federally at this point. I mean, why? This is just a recipe for getting laughed out of the room before we even start, right? Frankly, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, I think we are, this is a serious effort, and I take seriously what everybody's contributions, but think of the political realities. I think that we should instead be aiming at coalition building, supporting those coalitions that are already out there, the organizations like Open Media and others, and using this as a basis for getting them involved in a conversation about how their work relates to the reform of journalism. And I think with the aim of producing a statement that includes not just eight seemingly fragmented points, but some sort of preliminary analysis that can be broadly shared, a kind of a preamble and statement of general principles about democratic communication and journalism. And that the primary audience should not be, in the first instance, policymakers, but various social movements and advocacy groups that can get behind a particular perspective and perhaps even an old-fashioned manifesto. But with new technology that is built not by a committee, but you know, wiki style.
Okay, we got. I think Kai was next.
Just super quickly, in support of what Bob said, I think the last thing that we need in journalism right now is another silo, right? I think the last thing we need is like another group with an acronym or a name attached to it, you know, putting out these recommendations behind the facade of this sort of new institution or body or bureaucracy or think tank, right? So I think there's something to be said for getting these little ideas sort of to the toddler stage and then just booting them out there and seeing how far they crawl and where they wander and who picks them up and what happens with those, right? Because I think there's different groups that would naturally glom on really quickly to some of these, and there's other things that might take a few more weeks or months of discussion to really reach a point where people could understand what they're trying to support. So I think if we could use our time today to just try to get things clear enough that we can have a debate on them, then that will have been time well used. Not something that we all agree on and then agree to stamp and like sign our names to and say, well, we're now journalism strategies and fuck you, CAJ, we've got our own set of recommendations. Anyway, excuse my dirty mouth.
And one of the things, maybe that's like if we could try, I know it's difficult for academics, but to keep things short, and like I know it's difficult, but that would be so much easier for people to understand what we're trying to convey, like short sentences. Not like with parentheses, with like so many concepts that could lead so many to so many places. So people would be, what the hell are you talking about?
Sorry, just up front here.
I have a simple, short suggestion. We have eight propositions now. Do we agree on one, two, three? Could we go through the eight of them and say, and if just one everybody agree on, well, it's a step forward, I think. So if we could just go through and, I don't know, vote as a... Just to say, no, I don't agree, or I agree. And then the ones who don't agree, well, we set them aside, and we're trying to debate after the break.
But I think it's important to know why we don't agree.
Yeah.
Okay,
The debate after the break, but now we could just go through the eight propositions just to and vote, and then we can think about it and after the break debate on it.
Okay, I'll take two more, and then...
I've been running the live blog for this on journalismstrategies.ca, and I just put all of this on there so you can scroll through and read them. And you can also click on comment now and add your own comments. So if anyone didn't get a chance to say what they wanted, they can go on here and say it there.
Cool.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan.
It's already public.
That's brilliant.
So now you have no choice.
Well, and of course, we are being live streamed as well, right?
And now you can share this
so
with other people.
People can start laughing at us now.
Okay, Kathy,
you had a debate before you can vote, because half of us don't even understand what they mean.
It says draft right at the top.
No, seriously, I agree with your point.
Okay, Errol.
I think it's also important to, regardless of what we decide, I think there needs to be some preamble, some contextual preamble.
Because we weren't all in the same rooms, and as has been mentioned by several people, not all of us, most of us, don't understand why some of the recommendations were made. So rather than just posting recommendations, which seem some of which could seem devoid of context, I think it's important also to have a minimum of some preamble that situates those recommendations and justifies their importance.
Okay, thank you very much. I think, what time is it? We're at 3:25. Yeah. So, why don't we take a break?
I'm gonna print these off.
Gretchen's going to print these recommendations off. I think what we need to do before we take the break is just establish whether or not there is something concrete we want to come out of this. Let me put it this way. Do we want something that represents a unified voice from this room? That's the first option. Second, do we need that? Is it sufficient to put out the ideas that we have discussed in the context provided by a preamble? And this is something that would live on the website as an outcome from this conference, and something that we could then, after the break, discuss ways to move forward, to have further discussions with other stakeholders, as you know, Kelly and Bob and Paul have suggested. Paul, did you have something to add, Paul?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think one thing we can all agree on is that it's been enormously useful to hear what we've heard over the last 2 days. And I think we would probably all sign on to a statement of how valuable that was and how important it was to not only to continue the conversation, but also to expand it, an acknowledgement that there are many, many people out there who weren't here. There are many groups and organizations of people who do journalism and people who are concerned about journalism, and that the conversation needs to be expanded and as inclusive as possible. I think we could probably all sign on to something like that, and perhaps that would not be an insignificant outcome.
Okay.
The thing about, I'll jump on the mic since nobody else is there. The thing about voting on these that makes me a little bit uncomfortable is, who are we and why are we voting on something? Meaning, I'm here as an academic and I have community media background. So am I voting representing my sector? You know, like, nobody really appointed me to come here, right? And how representative would this vote be? So I have problems with voting and making something official via vote. And I agree with Errol in the sense that I wasn't in every room, and I feel like it would take too much time in this space to try to give me the context, the preamble that I might need to understand where these policies came from. So I would hesitate against voting. I think we can certainly circulate, improve the wording, make things clear, provide a preamble, circulate these as draft recommendations, or circulate in terms of putting them up on the website. I know they're already there to some degree on the live blog, but making them available through the website so we can see that there was some kind of tangible outcome to some of the discussions here. But in terms of a common statement, I appreciate what Paul and others have said in this space, is that there was a lot of value to the work that we've done. And I think if there was any kind of common statement that did come out of that, it would be more reflective of the value of such a space, rather than saying we all sign on to these recommendations. Because, again, really, these recommendations are in the kind of like incubator stage, like just ideas and not even written practically yet. So
I was just wondering if it would be useful for each group to have a brief preamble that then we can sort of synthesize along with the general, this is all very useful, preamble that Paul mentioned. Just something to do over the break. I mean, a few sentences from each group, if that's possible. Who knows?
Okay. So if I'm hearing this correctly, what we would like to do is during the break have an opportunity to go back and craft an explanation for why. If you know, rather than focus on the wording right now, as Gretchen has suggested, maybe explain why we've focused on these two themes, if I could put it that way, these two policy themes. And when we come back, we can discuss what we want to do with these statements. Where do we want to go from there with them? What are some of the ideas that we have? As I said to someone else, is that journalism strategies in this conference, I mean, I think Tom had asked me months ago whether this could potentially turn into a think tank, and I said that was my worst nightmare. Because, yes, as Kai has suggested, we've already got more than enough of those around. And there are already organizations like Open Media that are doing very good work. So I think this is not about getting married. This is about coalition building. And maybe when we come back after the break, what we can talk about are ways that we can take these points that we've raised this weekend that we've crafted during the break and find ways that, and I say ways plural, that we can move forward with them. Does that make sense to everyone? Yeah? Okay. Good. So I suspect that this will take more than 10 minutes. So do you want to come back in half an hour? Does that seem reasonable? Is that a reasonable amount of time?
Yeah, I would invite people to
come back to this space. But over the course of that half an hour, I would invite people to go downstairs, get coffee, get some sugar, because people look tired right now. So go down, get sugared, get coffeed, go up to the breakout rooms that we were in before, and have that discussion about the context, the preamble, what you want to put forward representing your group and these draft recommendations, so that we have a little something more to add to what's going to be posted. And Simone, you're shaking your head. You want to add something there?
Just for my group, I don't know what we'll be discussing about because we already had that discussion.
But we don't have it typed here.
We sent you ours.
You have the preamble?
Yeah. It says issues and strategies. It was right before what I sent you.
Okay. Wow, you guys are good. You've done this before, haven't you?
For the groups who didn't do that, it would be good for us to be able to, before we even get to the debate about language, I think it would be good for us to understand why the groups chose those particular recommendations.
Okay. I didn't get that. Can you email it to me?
So what we're asking for then is a preamble from each group explaining how they've decided to focus in on these themes, and I thought that we were going to not focus on specific wording of recommendations. Did I hear that wrong? Kathy, you look perplexed.
Well, you know, I've forgotten your name, I'm sorry. The lady from Nova Scotia there that said that she didn't necessarily agree on everything. I think that there's real value, whether or not we end up with 8 things to publish or go to the CRTC with, to actually debate whether we do agree with these or not. Like, it's important, because that's how we get to understand what the group is trying to say and what the context is.
I absolutely agree. It's just that I'm now watching the clock tick. Yeah, yeah. And I wonder, and I totally agree with you, Kathy, and I wonder if maybe that's something that we can use the website for and the online for, is that we can, and I think we should continue these discussions. And I think in keeping with the spirit of what Bob has said, this is an artificial exercise, and it was a bit of an experiment, and we've been able to say that yes, we've come up with 8 policy recommendations. Are they 8 good solid policy recommendations we can actually move forward with? I suspect that we would agree that that's not actually the case, and I think maybe those are the discussions we can move online and in face-to-face meetings for months to come. Does that answer your question?
Well, it's just if we go back downstairs now, I don't know what context others are missing to understand my, you know, our group's recommendations until I hear what people don't agree with. Do you know what I mean? I think that the context and why we all thought so is going to come out the minute we start to debate them among ourselves. I don't know.
So break and then debate?
I would just say that we're backtracking if we go back into separate rooms and come up with a preamble. So I think probably a better plan is to print out these, as you said, and hand them out, and we can all look them over during the break, and then we can come back with questions for people from the various groups who have prepared this about their preamble.
Okay. It's going to take me 5 minutes to go print these up, so I'll do that. People can grab coffee and so on, and I'll come back and I'll circulate them downstairs, okay?
Excellent.
And we'll come back to this room after the break.
Thank you.